We don't practice in order to be a good Buddhist. If we're here to be a nun or a monk, a lay Buddhist, a meditator, then we've come to the wrong place. These are conventional forms, identities, social agreements. We agree that if we shave our heads, put on white robes or brown robes, conduct particular ceremonies and procedures, then we say this is an anagarika, silatara. This is a bhikkhu. I'm a lay person with the eight precepts. Or I don't take the precepts. I'm not attached to rules and rituals. That's what I am. I'm not attached. I'm not a Buddhist. I'm one who follows the Buddha's way. So whether we call ourselves a not Buddhist or we are, if we identify with these roles, social agreements, then we've missed the point of the practice. We're not here to be good Buddhists, to be monastics. We're not here to pay respects to the Buddha, the Dhamma, and the Sangha. These are all conventional forms, skillful means, structures that are employed in the human realm to support the effort to awaken. That's what they're for. As soon as being a nun, being a monk, being a lay practitioner becomes an identity, there's a fetter right there, the first sangyojana. We've locked ourselves into the handcuffs, chained ourselves up. The purpose of taking precepts, putting on robes, following meditation methods, keeping a routine, studying the Buddha's teachings. This is all for realizing dukkha and ending dukkha. Over and over again, this is what the Buddha pointed to. I teach one thing, dukkha and the ending of dukkha. Therefore, it's important to use the practice, to use the faculty of wise reflection, investigation, to look at all the places where self-view gets created, where it's taken for granted. I am a man, I am a woman. I'm a monk, I'm a mother, I'm a doctor, I'm a school teacher, I'm retired. I'm a nothing, I'm not Buddhist. All the I ams and the I am nots. This is all just sakkaya ditti. Identification with the body, with our life story, personality. If the body is not self, how can you be a father or a mother? Perceptions are not self. Feelings are not self. Mental formations are not self. How can our life story, our opinions, be who and what we are? Our role as a follower, a leader, older or younger. The particular experiences or qualifications that we have. This is all just sakkaya ditti. We go through certain tests and procedures and we say, I have my driving test. I'm a school teacher. I'm a monk. I'm a doctor. Just like the currency that we use. The £5 notes that were legal when I was 10 years old are not legal tender anymore. They're just bits of paper. Back then, £5 was significant money. Now, those bits of paper are just bits of paper. Use them to start a fire with. They're not worth anything. And the money they print now, it's just the same. Pieces of paper or plastic with ink marks on them. Human agreements, that's all. How much money is in your bank? It's all just an agreement. Does your bank still exist? Did it crash last night? Is all the money gone? It's numbers, ones and zeros, registered in endless computer files. How much money do you have? What's your insurance? Oh, it's important for us to look and see where our refuges are. Do we take refuge in being a monastic, being a professional, being retired, being older, being younger, being healthy, being unhealthy? Do we take refuge in our successes? Do we take refuge in all the things that have harmed us? Our resentments or our unrequited loves. That which is broken and can't be repaired. Do we make that our precious possession? That lost opportunity, that betrayal? Do we carry it around and make that who and what we are? That person who did us wrong. The country that let me down. Do we live in the achievements of our family, our friends, our parents? What my mother and father achieved. My brothers, my sisters. What my children have done. This is all just Sakkaya Ditti, isn't it? We claim value, importance. We take refuge in our body, our health, our age, our gains and losses. The mind grasps those perceptions and inflates them into something substantial and real. How many countries have you been to? What experiences have you had? How many retreats have you done? What ajahns have you met? How many books have you written? How many schools did you get thrown out of? What illnesses do you have? We all have our own lists. Things that are there in our perceptions and memories that the mind says, yeah, but that is real, that is true, that I really was hurt, or I really did achieve something, or no, you don't know my dad, he really was somebody special, or my dog. You haven't met my dog, Ajahn. He's really somebody special. Though we need to look directly at how the mind takes a perception and inflates it, makes it solid, tries to make it real, turns it into a refuge. Even the ones that are conventional refuges, like, but I do love the Buddha, and I am a Theravadan Buddhist, and I do respect the Dhamma. That's good. In a sense, these are the most dangerous objects of all, religious conventions, because the society supports that, our conditioning supports that. But clinging to goodness, clinging to words of truth, turns them into an obstacle. It's like the Buddha used the image of the raft, having used the raft to cross from the dangerous shore to the safe shore. We don't carry the raft around on our shoulders. We leave it on the bank, go on our way. So we use the conventions of being a Buddhist, being a monastic, committed practitioner, being a man, being a woman. We use these conventions, but we need to understand them, know them for what they are, and not take them to be absolute realities. As soon as the mind invests in any perception as an absolute truth, there's dukkha right there. or seeing this, seeing the habits of attachment of the mind, claiming ownership of our nationality, our age, our loves and hates, gains and losses, achievements and failures. The mind which knows this is just a perception rising and passing away. This can't be anything more than just ripples in the surface of samsara. That's all. It's just patterns of consciousness arising, passing away. That's all. To know that beyond doubt, that seeing that is the way to liberation, that is how the third fetter is broken. Doubt about what is the way and what is not the way. Training the mind to take refuge in awareness itself, the very quality of vidya, knowing, awakened awareness, being Buddha rather than revering the Buddha, following the Buddha. It's being Buddha, being Dhamma, being Sangha, being awake, being the embodiment of the way things are, being the embodiment of that which is in accord, that which is unselfish, harmonious. So then when you bow, it's Buddha bowing to Buddha, Dhamma bowing to Dhamma, Sangha bowing to Sangha. During the day and the periods of formal practice, bring attention to those areas where self-view gets created. Believing opinions, believing in moods and states of fear, aversion, obsession, whatever it might be, greed, hatred, or delusion, pleasant, painful, neutral. See where the mind likes to locate itself, get born. To notice the mind that says, but I am a worried person. But I am a woman. I am a Buddhist. To bring attention to that very I am feeling, ahankara, made of I am. Ahankara, mamankara, the feeling of mine, my practice, my life, my problems, mamankara. These habits are the nucleus, the center of dukkha, the center of discord within the heart. The more those can be recognized, known as qualities of clinging, identification. We're letting the quality of wisdom recognize, how could that really be who and what I am? How could it? And in that seeing, then the heart relaxes. It lets go. And in that letting go, there's dukkha nirodha. As soon as the ahang is recognized and ceases, there's dukkha nirodha. As soon as the I am is recognized for what it is, the mine, that's mine, this is mine. As the wisdom faculty recognizes that, it knows, how can anything ever really be owned? And what would it be owned by? It all falls apart. What remains is peacefulness, dukkha nirodha.